This is still Speak Up Las Cruces on KTAL-LP, and we're joined this less than a half hour, because we got babbling, by Steve Fishman, who's a friend who knows lots of things and was a state senator or rep.
State senator.
Senator, and then a PRC commissioner, public...
Regulation Commission. Yeah. Nobody gets that right.
Well, in California, it was Public Regulatory
PUC. Public Utility Commission.
Yeah. So it's very confusing, and I'm a very little brain. But having said that, I want to talk with you about various issues, including Jupiter and its energy use that I know you've looked into, and procedurally, if you have opinions on that. But also, I think you have a very constructive idea about another utility, not El Paso Electric, that I'll want to give you a chance to talk about.
Sure. So what? Shall I expound on Jupiter?
Yeah, I think right now sort of in – there's a few things, but in particular just the amount of energy that's going to be – that they're asking to produce, but not just the energy piece, but the pollution, right, aspect of these, you know, quote-unquote microgrids. And Senator Cervantes talked about it in, you know, his first half hour about, you know, the there's a bill that they passed earlier this year that sort of eliminates Project Jupiter's power plant.
Exempts them, rather. They don't sell somebody.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Which is so interesting because it's been sold as, oh, we finally brought non-utilities under the ETA.
Right.
I can't even remember what it stands for, but basically that it has emission standards that apply.
Energy Transition Act.
Yeah, Energy Transition Act. So anyway, that's kind of how it was presented. But in fact, what it really does, it exempts in perpetuity.
Right.
Which means even when we go down to zero, supposedly, in 2042 or 2045, whenever it is. They don't have to get down to 98%.
No, they don't.
They don't have to do a damn thing.
And we still have, I have to say, some environmental group spokesmen saying, well, you know, we triumphed. We got we finally got non-utility energy under some regulation in terms of emissions. And no, you did the exact opposite. It's exempted. I don't know whether it was by accident or on purpose. In terms of the legislators, I don't know if they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
I do know that Project Jupiter and, you know, the lobbyists knew exactly what they were doing, and they slipped it by at the last minute.
As somebody who's been involved in government at various levels, do you have any – I have no printable words, but do you have any printable words for the process and how the county commission handled the Jupiter situation?
There are no words. It's it was so bad, and so bad from a public interest standpoint, just keeping everyone in the dark. And, you know, you look at Project Jupiter, and it goes all the way from the legislature, that bill, HB 93, which was clearly there for Project Jupiter. And, you know, that's how it got pushed. That was a big secret till the end, got slipped by everybody. Then they come to the county. The county's sitting there negotiating this for months without telling the public or asking the public what they think. And in the meantime, the county is not digging into the key issues. And, you know, one of the key ones here is the emissions. And the Project Jupiter air permit would literally allow that one project to double the carbon emissions for the entire state on that one AI project, not to mention the other pollutants. And obviously doing it in an area that's just adjacent to, you know, an air quality non-compliance area.
Right.
And, you know, what can I say? I think this is just kind of another classic case of big guys running over the little guys. And we all know who always suffers when that happens. It's those who are... You know, he'll have the smallest voices who are least represented, who generally aren't as fortunate as we are.
Right, and there are at the decision-making tables. And I'm curious, though, in terms of just, like, the PRC, right, regulates private utilities, public utilities. And I'm curious just, and how do the microgrids, right, sort of fall under the regulation umbrella?
So the public utilities, IOUs, investor-owned utilities. So the PRC does not regulate a utility that's owned by a municipality.
Okay,
that's city government does
right.
that. They do not regulate a microgrid that does not in any way serve the public. So if I have, well, I'll just leave it at that.
Right.
You referred to two microgrids. Tell folks why there are two instead of one.
Two microgrids for, oh.
For Jupiter.
For Jupiter, yeah. Well, they're basically just trying to skirt federal law. You know, if you get to a certain size, you have certain environmental and emissions requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course.
So they got to that size?
They got to that size and just said split it in two. And so far, to date, you know, our environmental department has said, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a clear work around the intent of the law.
Mm.
And you see this in all over the place. In every industry, people play these games. But regulators know better than to let that stuff stand.
I'm not sure the feds currently care.
No, they don't, which is unfortunate.
Well, no, and that's the point that I was trying to make is just in terms of regulations, this project doesn't seem to be facing lots of regulations, nor are they've tried to avoid it, right, as much as possible.
Yeah, well, Project Jupiter has nobody's interests at heart but their own.
Mm.
And they've proven it over and over and over in the way they've lied to the public. So, you know, with this generation, they've basically asked for enough generation to power their project going forward for the next 30 years. Before the county approved, they were telling everybody, oh, we'll just do, we won't do 3,000 megawatts of gas power. We'll do 600-700, and then we'll do solar. And,
right.
And they were bragging about that at public meetings.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And they're just friggin' liars.
Right.
See, there's a word you can print, friggin'.
Yes.
Thank you for your candor.
I'm going to go home and look that up, see what the definition is.
You know, your prior guest. We need attorneys. You're an attorney, Peter. But, you know, sometimes the legal talk just gets so convoluted, mm-hmm. we forget the issue. And let's get the issue right. And all those laws are there to hopefully serve the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not to screw the public.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's how most laws get used. Is they you get used to screw the public.
Huh. Any thoughts on what we should do to other than I won't go there, but what can we do to influence the county if this comes back before them? Because one of the claims, and I think there are complaints to the AG, and the AG could come back and say, you screwed up. You didn't follow the Open Meetings Act. And one of the things they could then do is vote in an open meeting in a proper fashion to say, yeah, we blessed that, which, of course, they'll want to do. What can we do about that to try to urge them to actually think a moment?
Well, the AG, number one, should come back because, I believe the process was tainted.
Fatally flawed.
And this is, so I think a lot of people already know the story that, they didn't even approve a final contract. It had draft all over it. There were missing passages.
And they left.
And then they had some people go off in private to finalize.
Yeah, they delegated it to their chair to go meet with the proponents and figure out the rest of it.
Yeah.
And
it was such nonsense, though, because
material.
People keep acting like, oh, we had to say yes because they said if you say, then it's a no if you delay this. Well, that's okay.
That's a great negotiating tactic. I'm big, and I'll go away if you don't give me everything I want down to the letter.
Well, first of all, that was BS. That was not true.
No kidding.
But second of all, even if it were true, the growth of the AI industry over the next 5 to 10 years says there will be plenty more opportunities to land data centers. And when these guys go off and someone else rejects them, people are catching up to the AI game and the threats. Yep. And other people around the country are learning to say no.
But we're a little slow in Doniana County.
Yeah. And then when they come back at some point, because no one else has given them these outrageous terms they asked for.
Yeah.
Then you can negotiate a decent deal. So a little bit of just business savvy and patience would have been tremendously helpful. Instead, they just folded like a paper tent, only it wasn't as strong as paper. It was something I don't know in the universe. I didn't know there were materials so weak that existed. But apparently it was there at the county commission.
So you mentioned another interesting idea the
other
day.
I'm trying to make this as controversial as your last guess because that was a lot to live up to.
You got a ways to go. That was fun. Yeah. I think, I think it was useful. I think we shed some light on a few issues that without taking sides on the issue between the doctor and the lawyer about, you know, who stiffed whom about going to lunch. There were things they wanted to know from him that we asked him directly, and he answered. And, you know, they can take several cases. He gave the answer they wish he would give.
Yep.
Lawyers, by the way, get a bum rap because everybody says lawyers foment litigation because they want to make the money. As a lawyer, I saw much more often situations where I'm the lawyer saying, Steve, you really ought to let them have that neighboring land. And you're
lawyers.
Saying, nah, he's evil and I want to punish him.
No, good lawyers keep clients by keeping them out of court.
Mm. Yes.
And that's, anyone who wants to get to court better have a damn good reason because it's emotional, it's difficult.
People go to go to war over a strip of property worth $2,000 and spend $100,000 between them lawyering it.
So, but let's get back to the topic at hand here,
I want to ask you about your idea about PNM.
Well, first, before we do that, I'm going to make one comment on that last item. Is that this new data center law essentially killed the ETA and ETA standards for the state of New Mexico. Very quickly, we'll see more energy being unregulated than regulated. The ETA standards are now a complete joke. And
words exactly.
And now the utilities, the IOUs that we have, they're making requests to the PRC for exemptions from the ETA based on this deal. And we see from SPS, the utility for the Eastern State, they're making a proposal almost as dirty as what we see with Jupiter and asking for exemptions from the ETA on that base.
Now, how are you going to turn it down? I mean, if you had a rule in your house that your kids couldn't eat chocolate ice cream, and I sat there and ate a gallon, and my sister was sitting there saying, can I get an exception to, have a couple of spoonfuls?
Well, we could go to court and say that because you're a guy, you qualify for an exemption.
Right.
But it doesn't apply to girls.
Right.
But, we could argue that in court.
Well, you should have been a lawyer. having said that, PNM, we talked about an idea that I thought was of interest that you ought to mention publicly.
Yes. I made a proposal a while back and did an op-ed that said, our state investment funds are growing at a super rapid pace for a number of reasons. They're probably at about $67 billion now, permanent funds.
You said billion?
Billion.
Yes, okay.
And they could be up to $100 billion at the rate they're going, literally in the space of a few years. You know what? I could buy PNM and TXNM whole corporate thing. I could buy a majority interest for about $2.5 billion.
So for a pittance, relatively, we, the state, could own the utility and not be paying a bunch of money to shareholders in Texas and New York City.
The profits would come to the profits would go back to our fund, which then can invest the money in education and other things around the state.
Other than writing an op-ed, what have you done in terms of trying to talk to people who make decisions, and what have they said, if they've deigned to say anything?
It's really interesting. So a lot of legislators I've seen kind of at events, and they've kind of gone out of their way to avoid me.
Well, you got to brush your teeth before you go to these things.
Yeah, I guess so. You kind of talk to them a second, and they're just kind of off real quickly. You can just tell they don't want to get into that discussion. But it's the most logical thing in the world. And, of course, the investment council is very conservative, and they say, oh, we don't want to become managers. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, all you need to do is hire one person. And for God's sake, this is a utility that serves half the state. It's nothing. And you know what? That $2.5 billion isn't even that much. It's really $1.25 billion because I could sell off the TXNM piece. That's Texas, not New Mexico. And just have the ownership in the New Mexico piece. And wouldn't it be smart to do the same friggin' thing? That's a printable word. The same friggin' thing with our other
El Paso
utilities.
Yeah.
El Paso Electric, have them take their New Mexico piece. SPS, have them take their New Mexico piece. And we buy that. And then it all goes to us, and we have ownership that at least has some connection to the public interest. Because utilities have been going on a huge slide being public service. I'll just finish this thought.
Yeah.
Public services to just another wealth extraction tool for private equity.
Part of the terribly growing wealth inequity that we have in this country. But procedurally, who decides that? Could the governor, you know, would the state legislature have to opine and do a resolution or a statute? Or could the governor's office direct somebody to say, you know, to use that part of the permanent fund or whatever it is and buy this utility?
I don't know all the legal ins and outs. It seems to me that the State Investment Council, to a large degree, makes its own investment rules, and that the council itself could go and revisit its internal rules and do this. They might obviously want the blessing of the governor and the legislature to be sure they're not stepping into a big fight and legal tangle going forward.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's good to get people on board.
Well, and I would imagine this is all conjecture, but, you know, maybe the state would say, well, we don't want to own some like private entity, right? Or like a private utility, you know, but the investment fund, right? They have to own pieces of lots of private entities in order for that investment
to... That's how they earn their return.
Exactly.
And these utilities, they get compensated far more than they should. They get a 10% return from regulators, which is the kind of return you get on a speculative investment. But a utility has captive customers. They can come to the commission and raise their rates whenever some emergency arises. They don't have to compete with any other businesses.
Right. They're monopolies. Yep.
So their risk is very low, and the market values them at only about a 5% return. And yet we give them a 10% return, and then it goes to the market and it doubles the stock price because investors see what a great value it is. Well, it's a great value and a safe investment for the state too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and they serve their constituents.
And you're not turning it into a government agency.
Yeah.
It's just another investment of the state investment fund. It still runs like a business, still gets reviewed by the PRC, gets regulated. And I think it's a nice thing to try.
Sounds good to me. How's it sound to you, caller?
Yes, good morning. Gregory Shabanik here. I'd like to ask your guest.
Give us a moment, Gregory. Give us a moment because our guest is putting his headphones on. Now he can hear you.
Okay. I'd like to ask your guest what he thinks about private equity purchases of utilities like Blackstone and the Texas Energy deal going through. And should New Mexico, especially PNM, feel threatened by private equity takeover of energy?
Well, PNM loves it because their management gets rich off this. About $100 million would go to their current CEO on this deal. In terms of the public, this is the worst thing that can happen. Blackstone right now is in the process of buying tons of companies that are material and service suppliers to data centers and to utilities. And they're going to own this whole cluster of companies that they brag will make great deals between each other. But you know what? Each one of those deals is going to screw us as customers of the utility. And there's a good reason for that. Utilities, by law, have to have all their operating expenses compensated. And when rates are set, the commission has to be sure that happens. Mm. So the higher the costs that everyone puts on the utility, they know the utility is going to recover that cost, and they're going to get a bigger profit. So it's going to just turn into a bloodbath for ratepayers. Mm. There's no way that we should have private equity ownership. We do have private equity ownership of El Paso Electric. I was on the commission that unfortunately approved that deal. We thought the prior ownership was bad, but now they're looking at 20% mm-hmm. shortfalls in power availability during peak hours for the next 5 years.
We have to cut this short because we're running out of time. Thanks for calling in, Greg.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Good question.
Only because as a future question for all of you, all of this links to the new data center. If it happens in Texas and private equity already owns El Paso Electric and Ellison, Dell, and Hunt owned the project area, think about the energy.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. And thank you, Steve.
Thanks for having me on.
Almost out of time.
I'd love to come back and whine about the energy landscape and all the crooked things that are happening. And feel free to call me back when something else controversial comes up.
And we'll talk further about how to make the PNM thing happen.